From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me. Tonight, we continue to look at the impact of immigration enforcement on local communities. As ICE increases immigration arrests nationwide, local residents are forming rapid response groups in cities, villages, and towns all across the country. That includes the Hudson Valley and Catskills. Kimberly Izar reports on the Ulster Rapid Response Network. Plus, we have more reporting on the proposed ICE facility in Orange County, which is already sparking fear among immigrant families in the region. We talk to Reverend Richard Witt, Executive Director of Rural Migrant Ministry. The interview is coming up in the second half of the program. But first, let's get the latest news from Albany, where this afternoon, New York Governor Kathy Hochul unveiled her budget proposal. The $260 billion budget proposal has money for new child care programs, but less federal Medicaid funding. As WNYC's Walter Westman reports, the governor says she can make the investments without raising taxes.
The budget proposal is a little over 2% higher than last year's. Hochul says the plan would launch a universal child care program, increase aid to every school district in the state, and backfill federal Medicaid cuts.
That's what I view a budget is all about, helping New Yorkers just get through life and showing them they have a government who cares.
Democrats in the state legislature have signaled they support a new wealth tax to pay for social services. Republicans say if Hochul wants to make New York more affordable, she should cut taxes. In Albany, I'm Walter Wuthman for the New York Public News Network.
Thank you to Walter Wuthman. Still to come, we will be looking at the local impacts of immigration and customs enforcement, or ICE, activity. Nationally, many Americans are watching the ICE activity happening in Minneapolis after President Trump earlier this month sent a surge of 2,000 ICE officers to Minnesota as part of Operation Metro Surge. Yet even when ICE activity is all the way over in Minnesota, even then there are connections between what's happening there and our listening area here. The Associated Press reports that in Minneapolis on Saturday, counter-protesters chased off conservative influencer and Sullivan County native Jake Lang. Hundreds of counter-protesters drowned out the far-right activist's attempt to hold a small rally in support of the Trump administration's latest immigration crackdown in Minneapolis on Saturday, as the governor's office announced that National Guard troops were mobilized and ready to assist law enforcement, though not yet deployed to city streets. There have been protests every day since the Department of Homeland Security ramped up immigration enforcement in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul by bringing more than 2,000 federal officers. Conservative influencer Jake Lang, a former Narrowsburg, New York resident, organized an anti-Islam, anti-Somali, and pro-ICE demonstration, saying on social media beforehand that he intended to burn a Quran on the steps of City Hall. But it was not clear if he carried out that plan. Only a small number of people showed up for Lang's demonstration while hundreds of counter-protesters converged at the site, yelling over his attempts to speak and chasing the pro-ICE group away. They forced at least one person to take off a shirt that they deemed objectionable. Lang appeared to be injured as he left the scene with bruises and scrapes on his head. Lang was previously charged with assaulting an officer with a baseball bat, civil disorder, and other crimes before receiving clemency as part of President Donald Trump's sweeping act of clemency for January 6th defendants last year. Lang recently announced that he is running for U.S. Senate in Florida. In Minneapolis, snowballs and water balloons were also thrown before an armored police van and heavily equipped city police arrived. Well, thank you to the Associated Press for that reporting. It's just part of a full article from the AP, which is up now at WJFFradio.org. The article goes on to chronicle more of what's happening in Minneapolis. So thanks again to the AP. That's at WJFFradio.org. In response to what happened in Minneapolis on Saturday, Jake Lang posted on Facebook saying, quote, "I was lynched for being white and Christian," end quote. Lang also shared a Fox News story that referred to him as a pardoned January 6th rioter and commented, quote, "Can you believe Fox calls me a rioter and the people who literally almost ripped me limb from limb, protesters?" End quote from Narrowsburg native Jake Lang. And on that note, today is January 20th. That means it was exactly 1 year ago today that President Trump took office for his second term and on that same day, signed the executive order titled Granting Pardons and Commutation of Sentences for Certain Offenses Relating to the Events at or Near the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021. After he was released, Jake Lang did say that he planned on returning to Sullivan County to run for Congress here, but as the AP article noted, he has since announced that he is going to be running for a Senate seat in Florida, the one vacated by Marco Rubio. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, the impacts of ICE in our listening area. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
The first big idea that we put out there, based on our reporting, based on talking to all the people around Trump, was that a second term of Donald Trump would involve extravagant uses of executive power. And it became very clear early on that that's exactly what was coming to bear.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on The Daily from The New York Times.
On the next Radiolab.
First, we thought we'd made some sort of mistake.
Two surprisingly simple scientific discoveries.
This is crazy. Yeah. I mean, we were just so surprised.
That make us reconsider our assumptions about progress.
We need to learn the language of the doctors of that time. We need to be a little bit less dismissive.
That's on the next Radiolab.
I learned a bit of humility this way.
Wednesday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
It's The Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. As U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, increases immigration arrests nationwide, residents have formed rapid response groups in cities, villages, and towns across the country, including here in the Hudson Valley and Catskills. Rapid response groups are typically networks that mobilize residents quickly if potential immigration activities are suspected and document those activities. The Ulster Rapid Response Network is a local community-based deportation defense group in Ulster County, mobilizing people and resources to defend immigrants in Ulster County from ICE. Radio Catskills' Kimberly Izar spoke with Diana Mendez, a member of the Ulster Rapid Response Network, to learn more.
I think maybe a good place to start is if you want to just tell me a little bit more about when and why Ulster Rapid Response was founded.
Ulster Rapid Response was founded in the beginning of 2025. Like you mentioned, we're a community-based deportation defense group. So we were, it was founded in response to the political situation.
And tell me a little bit more about what was happening on the ground or what you were hearing from folks that you and other community members felt it was important to mobilize just last year.
With the more aggressive policies of the second Trump administration. This is why we felt the urgent need to organize, to help our neighbors. As far as here in the Hudson Valley, the immigrant community is under a great deal of fear and stress, right? This affects every aspect of their lives, right? Like you are afraid to do the basic things of life. You're afraid to send your kids to school. You're afraid to drive anywhere. You're afraid sometimes to go to work, right? And so the effect on our community is huge, and the impact.
From what we've been hearing from, immigrant rights organizations and folks that we've talked to has been very similar to what you described, people being scared to leave their home, to go grocery shopping, to drop their kids off at school. I mean, doing very basic things that one would need to do to survive. Tell me a little bit more about the specific operations look like for also.
I can't really tell you the specific operations given, the work we're doing and the fact that, we don't really discuss operations outside of the organization. But I can tell you that what we do is document, witness, and report, immigration enforcement. And we really remind our community that they have rights. We hand out, I don't know if you're familiar with red cards. Red cards list, it's a basic listing of, what rights you've got. They're usually bilingual. Basically, we just want to make sure that everybody's constitutional rights are respected.
And tell me a little bit about, in more detail, what the Know Your Rights card includes.
So the Native Rights Code, which I am not pulling out of my wallet so I can tell you with accuracy. Give me one second. Okay, here we are. So there, I'll just read you the English. I do not wish to speak with you, answer your questions, or sign or hand you any document based on my Fifth Amendment rights under the United States Constitution. I do not give you permission to enter my home based on my Fourth Amendment rights under the United States Constitution unless you have a warrant to enter signed by a judge or magistrate with my name on it that you slide under the door. I do not give you permission to search any of my belongings based on my Fourth Amendment rights. I choose to exercise my constitutional rights. These cards are available to citizens and non-citizens alike. But again, the other side is in Spanish. Same message. You do have rights. We don't have to, you know, just give in because someone knocks on the door, right? And one big issue that we're seeing, and it's countrywide, is that, you know, immigration, customs, and ICE officers are not providing the correct warrants. And it's something that, you know, people need to be made aware of.
Diana, in addition to letting folks know about the rights that they do have, are there other things that folks can look out for or that you recommend as we see growing immigration rates nationwide?
I mean, I think it's the responsibility of those of us with the privilege of a, you know, more stable immigration status, right, or being citizens, to just be on the lookout, right? If we see anything that looks like ICE, like, you know, you have a part to play. And by, you know, the proverbial you, like, we all have a part to play in ensuring that people's rights are respected, right? So, like, people, for one thing, you know, keep your eyes open, right? And the oft-repeated phrase, you know, it's oft-repeated, forgive me, repeated phrases, use your privilege, right? Like, if you don't have to worry about ICE, then it you know, it behooves us all to, you know, do what we can to ensure that our neighbors' rights are protected, right? And someone, and, you know, just sometimes just having our eyes open and just, you know, being there can have an impact.
And all of this is, as we talked about, happening while we're seeing growing immigration rates nationwide, but also, you know, just last week on January 7th, an ICE agent in Minneapolis struck and killed Renee Nicole Good. I'm curious, yeah, just if at all, does that change or affect the work that you're doing locally, or kind of does it double down in terms of your mission and the kind of work that you're trying to do?
It just shows that, you know, that famous poem, first they came for the communists, and I wasn't a communist, so I did not speak up, right? It's a very famous, a Holocaust survivor, I forget the name, who wrote it. And it just shows, and this isn't even specific to our work, is that they're not going to limit it to immigrants, right? They're going to go after everybody eventually. If a mother of three, a white lady, you know, mother of three, gets shot in the face, right? Like, it really, I think it places urgency in terms of, like, you know, how important, how this isn't just a matter of immigrants, you know? Like, it's only it's not just immigrants that are being affected.
Right. Your group had started in 2025 of last year, specifically in Ulster County, but also serving other parts of the region, I imagine. What's it been like, you know, partnering with other organizations and groups to do this work? What does that look like?
I mean, we've learned a lot from the Columbus Sanctuary movement. We took a lot of, you know, our start from them. And, you know, we've learned that there are a lot of really interested, dedicated folks that want to help keep their community safe, right? Whether, for instance, we had a vigil, I want to say Thursday. Yeah, it was last Thursday, right? And we had a couple of representatives come to speak. Metzger was there. I forget, Tuna, I believe it was Poughkeepsie. Sarah Hahn, I forget what group she was in. There was a number of different organizations that came and showed support. And also, you know, like, different speakers from different orgs, right? And so, like, they connected all of our struggles. You know, like, Renee Good was a member of the LGBT, you know, Q community. Mm. And that, like, that's something that, you know, this community is also under attack in general, right? And so, like, the head of, like, I guess the Kingston LGBT Society, also, you know, spoke about that connection, right? So it's just affecting everybody, not just the immigrants.
Diana, if someone is in Ulster County or in the surrounding regions and suspects a potential ICE sighting, what do you recommend that they do?
So you can call the Ulster Rapid Response Hotline. It's a bilingual hotline. And the number is 845-293-3423. And also for folks in, you know, in Catskill, is, you know, you can also call it Columbia Sanctuary Movement people. So that's 518-291-9386. You can also follow our Instagram. It's a Linktree link. So it's linktree.com/ Ulster-Rapid-Response. And then that will take you to it. Our main goal here, I mean, well, to protect our neighbors, right? But also it's to spread information, not panic.
Right.
Right. So it's just like we confirm whether it is ice and spread that information around, right? Like, so I'm a teacher and I would have parents text me like ice is, you know, X or X is, you know, here. And there's all these rumors and stuff. And that's one of the things that we, you know, we're really working on fighting. Just like making sure that people are aware if ICE is around and also are aware, if, you know, it was a false alarm.
Yeah, I think that's great for people to know that there is this verification process that rapid response networks are moving through. Diana, I'm wondering if there's anything else that maybe we haven't talked about that you want to lift up about this current moment.
I mean, I don't have anything new to add to what we're talking about, right? Like, I just think that it's important to remember that we are not powerless in community, right? And it feels isolating sometimes, right? And like you're dealing with a behemoth of a political system, right? But I think it's important to remember that communities have always bonded together and, you know, and there's more power in the community than just us by ourselves.
Thank you, Kimberly. Well, we've been following the story of the proposed ICE detention facility in Chester, New York, in Orange County. It's big news for our area. It's also been getting some national attention. And both Democratic and Republican lawmakers are pushing back on this proposal. If built, it would be Orange County's second immigration facility, since the county jail currently serves as an ICE detention center. But whether or not it is built, it is already having an impact on people here. Radio Catskill's Tim Bruno spoke to Reverend Richard Witt, Executive Director of Rural and Migrant Ministry, live this morning on Radio Chatskill. Reverend Witt said the proposal is already spurring fear among immigrant families in the area.
I think this news has an impact in so many different directions. One of the largest directions is the impact it's having on immigrant families and especially their children. They're already living in great fear of separation from their parents, of their children, and having such a facility just adds to that environment of fear. Another direction is just the impact on the quality of life in our community, in our Orange County community, in our community of Chester. When they've built facilities like this in other communities, those communities have adopted the reputation front and center of being a place that warehouses immigrants. And you know, Batavia, New York, beautiful town, but people don't think of Batavia anymore first, as a beautiful town. They think of it as a repressive detention facility. So that impacts the good reputation of Chester and our community. And finally, you know, economically, the detention, the deportation of immigrant men, women, children, has a huge impact on our local economies. And we all then end up suffering with the loss of such vital members of our community.
Orange County Executive Steve Newhouse said on Friday that he would be filing legal action around the proposed facility. Congress member Pat Ryan has also launched a petition to block the facility. What else have you heard from local lawmakers in the Hudson Valley about what this facility would mean for the area?
I'm hearing across the board that local and state lawmakers are against this facility. This is not just about our own community, our own state. It's about what's happening in this country as a whole now. And the importance of people standing up to say, we don't want to be a country or a community that starts first with fear and racism. You know, I've been with Rural Migrant Ministry since 1991. I've been in Orange County since 1991. We have long had immigrant families working on our farms and contributing to our community. And it's only in recent years that this whole tension has flipped on its side here and caused just a great tension that I think is impacting everybody's well-being.
Well, we see these growing immigration raids nationwide, the surge in Minnesota, the killing of Renee Good, a protester, a detention arrests exploding in New York County jails even. You mentioned you've been in this position since the 90s. How has this affected the communities you serve, this national influx of raids and just attitude, I suppose, in the nation's psyche, especially among rural families?
I think it's led to an increased distrust of our neighbors, a lack of appreciation and understanding of the contributions folks are making. You know, when I first started, folks were traveling back and forth from Orange County to Texas to Mexico. There were no walls. There was no fear or tension. People came, they contributed to our economy, they went back to their homes. And it's only in these recent years that all of that has been changed. And you can just feel the tension and the anger. Even those that are against, or those that are in support of this facility, when you see their posts on social media or you hear them in the public, it always feels to me like it's such an anger and such a sarcasm and mocking of brothers and sisters and fellow community members. And that can't be healthy for any of us.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to the Reverend Richard Witt, who is Rural and Migrant Ministries Executive Director. We're speaking about the proposed ICE facility in Orange County and also about immigration raids across the country and how it affects families locally. Your nonprofit works directly with young people and families in rural parts of the state. What measures are you hearing from families and others to keep themselves and their families safe?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are two aspects to this. One is people are just fearful to be out in public, to have their children in public. They're fearful to have their children go to school. Children are fearful to go to school. I mean, it's just a lot of fear, and it's really impacting folks. The other thing is that it's also forcing children to, you know, by and large, who are American citizens, to have to take on extra jobs to curtail their schooling in order to help their family survive. So it's changing and impacting the dreams and hopes of these young people who so want to be a part of American life and so want to contribute to American life.
There's an article in the New York Times this morning about volunteers in Minnesota delivering groceries so immigrants can hide at home. Is there a similar sort of chilling effect happening here in the Hudson Valley?
There is tremendous concern, and throughout New York there are similar situations where people go to grocery stores and see Border Patrol, Homeland Security folk in front of those grocery stores blockading the ability to eat.
And are you seeing an uptick in volunteers wanting to help?
Oh, absolutely. We, Rural Migrant Ministry, had to create a volunteer coordinator position because we've just been inundated with folks that want to volunteer in any which way. We recently had a volunteer donate 50,000 meals that could be delivered to folk. You know, because there was a perfect storm a short while ago with the combination of the raids and their fear, the reduction of SNAP benefits. And then in New York, there were a lot of Jamaican farm workers that were stuck in New York because of the hurricane damage in Jamaica. And so all that just led to a huge struggle around food and hunger.
Governor or State Senator Michelle Hinchey is the latest local public official to oppose the proposed ice processing center at that warehouse in the town of Chester in Orange County. Hinchey's call adding to the growing chorus of folks pushing back. What are the next steps local advocates like your nonprofit, Rural and Migrant Ministry, and others can do to block the facility?
Well, I think that the community needs to continually stand up and give voice to their concerns and their hopes of the kind of community that we all want to have and live in. People need to be present. People need to let their legislators know their feelings, because our legislators are, and not just our local legislators, but our state legislators and our federal legislators and the governor all need to know that the overwhelming majority of the people don't want to be living in a community that's based on oppression and fear and economic ruin.
And with all of these efforts by ICE across the country, what is the message you want folks to hear about the impact of these raids, and then also, you know, the way forward in some ways for folks to help and to support families in our region?
Well, as you mentioned, I'm a person of faith, and we in the faith community always start with loving our neighbor, and all our neighbors are our neighbors. We don't choose, you know, who our neighbor is. All are our neighbors, and we are called in the faith community to not only love our neighbor, but to welcome the foreigner in our midst. So I think the more that we can do as individuals to just begin in our own sphere by loving our neighbor, welcoming the stranger in our midst, and speaking out against injustice, then the stronger we all will be as a community that thrives.
I know that there was a press conference and rally scheduled in Orange County on Saturday, but had to be postponed because of weather. Is there a new date yet for that rally?
I know that they are in the final moments of putting together the date and the time and location, and that shortly there will be an announcement inviting people to stand strong.
That's Reverend Richard Witt from Rural and Migrant Ministries. He's the executive director. There's more information at ruralmigrantministry.org. Reverend Richard Witt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. And to the listeners, thank you for being thoughtful citizens.
Thank you, Tim Bruno. Remember, you can hear local news and conversations with Tim Bruno every weekday morning at 10 on Radio Chatskill, going for an hour at 10. Tim will be back tomorrow morning at 10. I will be back tomorrow evening at 6 for the local edition, because this edition of the local edition is now done. I want to thank you so much for being here with me. I'm Jason Dole. I will be back again tomorrow evening. For now, you want to stay with us, because coming up at 7, we've got Mr. Kusar Grace and Music Emporium and more music on into the evening. But before all of that, it's more news from The Daily. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Tavern on Main, where modern American cuisine meets classic favorites. Dinner, weekend brunch, craft cocktails, and warm hospitality on Main Street in Jeffersonville. More at tavernonmainny.com.
Looking for things to do? Check out Radio Catskill's community calendar. Find out what's happening or submit your own event. The community calendar at wjffradio.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA. We bring you a story that takes you across the ocean and into a journalist's personal memories.
The story of the Mariel Boat Lift is the central story of my life. There was a before and an after. I was never the same after that.
That's this week on Latino USA. Thursday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. From river to river, mountain to mountain, we are Radio Catskill.